Our gospel and sermon lesson for this morning is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 48, finishing out the portion of the Sermon on the Mount that we'll be looking at before Lent begins. Again, Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 48, I read in Jesus' name. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus continues to preach, and he continues to preach with authority. Some of the words of Jesus from our gospel text have become pretty well known, even though they're not necessarily directly quoted from Jesus. We know a lot of this passage, even in the business world. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, and love your enemies. These sayings, though, have pretty much become cliché, and they've lost a lot of their bite. They've lost part of their bite, I think, because of the way that we respond to these words from Jesus. We try to get around them or over them or under them. We do not want to have to go through them. We don't want to live that way. And so we say things like, well, Jesus couldn't really mean what he's saying here. I mean, Jesus couldn't really mean that we tell the truth all the time, 100%, because people discount what we say anyway. They figure there's at least a little bit of lying. So if we didn't lie, then we'd get walked all over. Or we think, well, Jesus couldn't really expect me, if I've been punched, to turn the other cheek and be vulnerable, could he? That doesn't make any sense. I'd be beaten all over the place. Jesus couldn't really mean what he says when he says to give to everyone who begs and don't refuse one who would borrow from me. I wouldn't have anything left. If I followed all of Jesus' words here, I'd be broke, naked, and beaten. And Jesus doesn't want that. Jesus recognizes that I have a right to not be injured. Jesus understands that I have a right to my things. Jesus must understand my rights. And then Jesus has us right where he wants us. You see, you must remember that you are a creature. You are a creature created by God, and as a creature, you have no rights. You have no rights. But we don't want to be creatures. We understand that creatures have no rights. At least to some level we understand that. And so we don't want to be creatures because we want what we think is ours. In its simplest form, sin is simply denying our creatureliness. That's how Adam and Eve fell. They desired to be like God. They put their fear and love and trust in themselves. And that's frankly what we do all the time. That's why so much of the world around us tries to overthrow this whole idea of us being creatures. That's why theories like the Big Bang and evolution and stuff like that are so prominent, because we don't want to be creatures. We know that creatures don't have rights. And even some so-called Christian leaders will go so far as to say that, well, we can work with evolution. We don't want to look like fools and say that God created the world in 6 days. You know what? When someone does that, if they call themselves a Christian leader, if they're considered a Christian leader, turn them off. Get rid of them. They're doing you no favors. We are creatures created by God, and as such, we have no rights. And the sooner we understand this truth and begin to live it out, the better off we become. And the more things start to make sense. Because then everything that we have comes to us creatures as a gift from God our Father. And I mean everything comes as a gift. Creatures receive everything as a gift. Your life, it's a gift. Your body, it's a gift. All of the things that you have, it's all gift. And they're all given to you by a generous, merciful Father who is in heaven. And so, based on this fact that we are creatures, given everything by God, Jesus can then come and give us these commands that just seem unreasonable and seem foolish. Jesus can rightfully command us, do not take an oath at all. Do not take an oath by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by earth, for it's His footstool. Don't even take an oath by the hairs on your head, because you know what? You can't even make one of them black or white. You're not even that powerful. Don't try and make one moment more or less holy than another by taking an oath, because it's all God's anyway and God sees it all. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Tell the truth. Jesus can command us, don't resist the one who is evil. And even though we want to fight against that, we can realize, you know what, this makes sense. Don't resist the one who is evil, Jesus says. If someone wrongs you, remain vulnerable. Remain vulnerable. Even if someone punches you in the face, give them an opportunity to punch the other side too. Because they're not your cheeks anyway. It's God's cheeks. And we start to understand that the things that Jesus is saying here, they're right. They're not our cheeks. Our words aren't even our own. They're all gifts from God. And if we live this way, we'll have persecutions. Persecution will come. You'll be persecuted for living your life this way because it looks so silly. And I mean, here's an opportunity for sinful people to take advantage of you, and yet live this way. It's a command of Christ. And your persecution might not come in front of a firing squad, or you might not get nailed to a cross, you might not be thrown to wild beasts. But, you know, in some ways, that death might be a preferable persecution to what we face in this country day after day. The persecutions that we get in this country, it's this kind of loathsome pity. Oh, those poor Christians sitting there, listening to all the rules of God and thinking that God created, and they just pity us. And it's pretty pathetic, but it's a persecution. It's a real persecution. And maybe someday we'll be put in front of an executioner. Maybe. I don't pray that upon us, but it could be. But God has called us to endure and to persist in the persecutions that do come our way. And so, tagged along with that, Jesus says that when people do take advantage of you, when they persecute you, love them and pray for them. Love them and pray for them, because if you only love the people that love you, well, then you're only going to love yourself, and we're right back to the problem again of sin. Love those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you. And all these words of Jesus, when we recognize that we're creatures and that the things that we have are not our own, it all starts to make sense. And we can say that these statements from Jesus, yeah, they're true, they're right, and they're good. And these final words of Jesus, they sum up all of his teachings here in the last part of Matthew chapter 5 about the law. Jesus says, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And now we need to pause here for a little bit and consider what this means. It's kind of an echo of what was said in Leviticus 19 in our Old Testament text. "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." But the translation here, "you must be perfect, as your Father is perfect," that word "perfect" leaves a little bit to be desired, because this word is so full and rich, and it's used in really interesting ways throughout Scripture. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, before he gave up his spirit, he said one word, and it's the same word. But it gets translated, "it is finished." It's the same word as "you must be perfect." And the word that gets translated "perfect," or in that instance of Jesus on the cross, "it is finished," that word means whole, or total, or complete. And we start to get an idea of what this means, because if we are children of God the Father, if we are God's temple, as the epistle lesson said, then we're going to be that. We are going to be whole, we are going to be total, we are going to be complete. And when we hear Jesus say this, "you must be perfect as your Father is perfect," we realize, I can never be that. I could never do that. And you're right. And so that's why God sent his Son to make you his child. That's why back in the Beatitudes, back in the earliest verses of Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And Jesus says, this is you, believer. You are the children of God, and God doesn't have children that are anything less than perfect, anything less than whole or total or complete. And so, if you aren't those things, God's going to keep working on you. God doesn't have children that are anything less than whole and total and complete. And Hebrews 12:2 shows us this so beautifully, that through faith in Christ, we become whole, we become total, we become complete. Hebrews 12:2 says that Jesus is the founder, or the author, or the beginning, the beginner, and the perfecter, the whole maker, same word, the completer of our faith. And it's through his death and resurrection and the promises that God gives to us through his death and resurrection, that the faith that God has placed in us in the waters of baptism and feeds through the Lord's Supper, that faith clings to those promises of God and says, I'm not going to let go. And so, rest in that fact. Rest in the fact that Jesus is the one who will perfect and complete your faith. You see, Jesus is the one who fulfilled the law for you. When you struck Jesus on the face, he turned his back and received the lashes and the whip. And Jesus didn't stop there. After the lashes and the whip, Jesus turned his hands and his feet over to sinners, and he gave them up to the nails. And Jesus didn't finish there. When they were done with his hands and feet, he even gave up his side, which we ran through with a spear as his enemies. Jesus gave up his whole being, his entire life, for us sinners who are his enemies. He did that so that you and I could become children of our Father. Children of our Father who is in heaven. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen.